Would you join me as you're able in praying together? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. If you go to seminary, they'll teach you to add a forever and ever there at the end of the Lord's Prayer. That's how the pros do it. I welcome you to, man, let's all take a deep breath. Who is Philip Wise, our first pastor of this congregation? I walk by his picture down the hall most weeks. He is a man who looked really good in a suit. Who is Philip Wise? Who is Bob Hearn? I'm so sorry. Mom and Dad, you didn't see that part. We'll reset. Who is Bob Hearn? Pardon me. First pastor of our church. Wonderful, beautiful man. Who is Hardy Clemens? Who is Charlie Johnson? No one really knows. Who is Philip Wise? These human ones. Who is Ryan Price? At least we can say he has incredible hair. And if we can't agree on that, we're not going to agree on anything the rest of the morning. Who is Stephanie Nash, a saint? Who is John Claypool, other than pastoral perfection? Who is Brennan Manning? Who is Brene Brown? This is the question that Paul asks in our scripture reading this morning. Who is Apollos? Paul asks. Who is Patrick Mahomes, who also has great hair? We can agree on that. Who is a Super Bowl winning quarterback? What are these people? We are all of these are at least a collection of atoms formed into molecules, formed into cells. We are all a beautiful mixture of consciousness and matter. We are all body, soul, and spirit, and identity. Who is Apollos? Paul asks. And I think for at least for our purposes today, it does not matter who he is. It matters only that he is. Who is Apollos? I'd like to call him John. If he were born here lately in the last few years, his name would be Liam or Noah or Wyatt, the most three popular baby boy names of the last few years. I know this because we've been researching. We're doing really good on our girl names, not so good on our boy names. So the search continues. So we'll call this morning Apollos, we'll call him John, because like all of us, we are all an incredible, unique part of a mosaic that reflects and displays the light of Christ and the light of God and the light of the world. We are all together this grand mosaic, and we are all simultaneously as ubiquitous as Jane or John Doe. Who is John, that Paul calls Apollos? Paul's writing to this Corinthian community, a community in conflict, a community that is divided. This is the occasion for these letters written by Paul, these letters included in our New Testament are often earlier, closer to even the person of Jesus with respect to date. The communities of Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, although there is some collection of material, and although these are a people strong and rich in an oral tradition, there does not seem to be need to write down all the sayings and the teachings and the lives and the ministry of Jesus, because it was thought and believed so fervently that Jesus was coming soon. Why would we write it down for generations of preservation? Because Jesus is coming soon. This was the mantra of that early faith, and still today, this is our mantra. Jesus is coming soon. We can be assured of this each morning as the sun rises. Jesus is coming soon, and each evening when we lay our head on our pillow, we can be assured that Jesus did come. That Jesus was present in your day and in your life and in your family and in your work. And yet, because of the form and structure and the expectation of Jesus' return and this delay of this return, the people began to think we're going to write this stuff down. And because this material was not widely circulated in these early days, Apollos, whom we know as John, is less familiar with all the material that is circulating about the life and the ministry and the resurrection of Jesus. Paul, on the other hand, Paul is a made man. On the road to Damascus, he encounters the Christ. Paul, we know, is trained among the highest teachers of the day. Paul, we know, a friend of the other disciples and close relationships of Jesus. Paul has examined all the best available material and information. It's likely that Paul, in this situation, is writing to Apollos, whom we know as John, a community in conflict, a community that is divided. And even in our scripture, this is incredible. This is a new thing. This is one of the aspects that our scripture is so phenomenal, is that within these letters, within these documents that we hold as Holy Scripture, there is dialogue. There is tension. There is debate. So even in this letter sent to the Corinthian community, there is dialogue and tension between Paul, who likely started this mission, and those who are leading in the community now. So Paul is writing to these, a made man, a person who is a Pharisee among Pharisees, a person who has been educated and trained, a person who I believe deeply is one of the great minds of human history, is writing to a man whom we know as John or Apollos, who has experienced less information, who has experienced likely less training, who's doing his best and leading in the community. And Paul writing, and I think Paul struggles throughout his life, in my opinion. It can be difficult, I understand from other people, wouldn't know myself. I think Paul struggles with being the smartest person in the room. He's brilliant. It can be difficult to be the smartest person in the room. It can be difficult to be around the smartest person in the room, especially when some of these smartest people in the room, you know how you know they're the smartest person in the room? They tell you they're the smartest person in the room. They remind everyone in the room that they're the smartest person in the room. And so Paul, who has every ability to theologically, philosophically, intellectually overbear John, who we know as Apollos, in a moment of divine grace, in a moment of self-awareness, in a moment of spiritual maturity, Paul, a Pharisee among Pharisees, Paul, a great mind among great minds, writes to the community and says, "Who is this? Who am I? What does it all matter? For at the feet of Jesus, we are all co-learners, co-workers, brothers and sisters in Christ." Breaking forth the doors that this faith tradition, this new thing that Christ is doing in the world and in history, is not dependent upon what your name is, who you know, and where you went to school. It is instead dependent upon, has God given you a gift as he has given to the flowers of the field? There is nothing for you to do. There is nothing for you to fully understand. There is nothing for you to accomplish. There is only grace and goodness to be received. Who is Paul? Who is Apollos? It does not matter. In the feet of Jesus, and in the presence of God. I think this is not a complete expression of what the incarnation means in our world. However, I think this is incredible. The incarnation, Christ with us, God taking on flesh to display to God's beloved, in order for God to show God's own love, God became that which God loves. A revolutionary kind of love. A love not seen ever before in history. A love that sits at the center of the universe is the love of God that becomes that which God loves. Christ with us. And yet also it is Christ like us. It does not matter that your name is Paul. It does not matter that your name is John. It does not matter that your name is Apollos. It does not matter that your name is Jake. Rather, it matters that the image of Christ is deep within you, that each of us is revealing that which is beyond all of us. I'm reminded of the words of Jesus that says, in order to truly find your life, you must lay it down. It is in our, it is when we are humbled as Christ was humbled. It is when we lay down our egos. It is there that we meet divinity, regardless of where you went to school, regardless of what your name is, regardless of how much success or how little success you feel like you've had in this life. It is as though we are the flowers of the field and we receive the rain. And we receive the sunshine and new life bursts forth even from the desert. I'd like to tell you about a study I read. It came from an agricultural research center in Iowa. I'm a little bit nervous to say these words in public, to use this sermon illustration among people who have actually farmed. I've never worked hard a day in my life. My entire well-being has been given to me on a silver platter. Alice and I run a hospice for plants at our home. We couldn't grow our food if all of eternity depended upon it. But this research center out of Iowa recorded a study based upon what it would take to grow 100 bushels of corn on 1 acre of land. What is a bushel of corn? I don't know. I had to look it up. Turns out it's 25 kilograms of corn. What is a kilogram? I don't know. I was told when I was a kid I would know this one day, and I still don't know it, and you don't either. So, this research firm in Iowa, collecting all this data, they decided to use an app. The app failed, so they never published the results. End of sermon illustration. Too soon? You didn't like that one? 100 bushels of corn produced on 1 acre of land required over 3 million pounds of water. Required over 500,000 pounds of potassium, over 5,000 pounds of, not sulfur, other things that I'm not smart enough to explain to you. Countless hours of work from a farmer, and certainly beyond the farmer's ability to labor is also the timing, the rate, and the amounts of sunlight needed. All of this takes place, as some of you well know. Did I butcher the agricultural metaphor well enough for you? Some of you well know this takes place over the course of 2 to 4 months. Now, this study suggests that the impact of the farmer's labor can be calculated at 5%. All that labor, all those years of experience, all those nights and early morning praying for rain and for sunshine, all of that is a sum total of 5% influence in productivity. And what number would you give your intellectual property? And what number would you give your wisdom? And what number would you give your success? And what number would you give your drive and will to succeed in this life? I think I'd put my number probably lower than 5%. These numbers are not to guilt us or to shame us, but rather I think they are to inspire us and welcome us into the presence of God, regardless of what your name is, regardless of where you went to school, regardless of how successful you have or you haven't been. Albert Einstein says, "The longer I live, the more I realize I do not know. And the longer I live, the more I realize I am not in control." Who is Apollos? Who is Paul? Receive encouragement from these words in Psalm 8. "Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold. When I consider your heavens and the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what are mere mortals really?" What is Paul really? What is Jake really? "That you are mindful of them, human beings, that you care for them. You have made us a little lower than the heavenly beings. You have crowned us with your glory and with your honor. You made us rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under our feet, all the flocks, all the herds, all the animals of the wild, all the birds of the sky and the fish of the sea, all that swims and crawls. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name." Not the name of Paul, not the name of presidents or Super Bowl winning quarterbacks, or even the name of pastors. "How majestic is your name, O God, in all the earth." Let's pray together. It is your love, your grace, and your goodness that causes all things to grow and to flourish. It is not our name, it is not our success, it is not our education that matters. It is your name that is majestic. It is your name that sits at the center. It is your name from which all things flow. And so we receive your love. So we are reminded of your grace. And so we are wowed by you again, O God. For this we give thanks. For this we worship. For this we share that which you have shared with us. And we pray this in the name that is above and beyond and before all names, the name of the Creator, the Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.